prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel Sheikh Mujaddiddin Firozabadi Rahmatullah Ali states beautiful Pearl of wisdom. When you sit in a gathering amongst your friends, amongst the family, as soon as you sit with other people, recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Allah Azza wa Jal will appoint an angel that will be with you and will protect you from backbiting. And when you depart from that gathering, that congregation, then the great Shaykh writes that again recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That angel will then stay there and keep others from backbiting against you. Subhanallah. What a beautiful, beautiful madni pearl that we can adopt and save ourselves and others from backbiting. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Sadrullah Fazl, Sheikh Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi, Rahmatullah al-Hadi, states on page 823 of his amazing commentary of the Holy Quran, Khazan al-Irfan, that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would send out expeditions, and Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would travel with those expeditions. And during the expeditions, the beautiful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would group one poor person with two rich individuals. And so by doing this, the poor person's needs were taken care of, and he could serve the rich people. And so it was a beautiful arrangement that would benefit everybody on this expedition. Once on such a journey, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was grouped with two well-off individuals. At one point during the journey, he fell asleep and could not make and prepare the food. So his companions, the two wealthy people, they said, why don't you go to the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is also traveling in this expedition, and ask Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's cook, Hazrat Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, for some food. So off he went, and he presented his Hajjat, his need in the court of Hazrat Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the servant of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I cannot help you because there is no food left. Hence, Sayyidina Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu had to return empty-handed. When he told his companions about this situation and what Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, they turned around and said, Usama has been stingy. Implying that food may have been available, but Hazrat Sayyidina Usama radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not want to give it. When those two people, the well-off individuals, came to the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who told us of the unseen, the beautiful Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, the revealer of the unseen, says, I can see the traces of flesh in your teeth. So the two individuals arrive. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving the knowledge of the unseen, says, I can see traces of meat in your teeth. To which they reply, Ki ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not eaten any meat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, you have just backbitten, and the one who backbites against a Muslim eats his flesh. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, can you imagine if that one little comment made by these two individuals in the expedition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so grave that the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I can see the traces of flesh in your teeth, implying that they had eaten the flesh of a Muslim. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, what does the glorious Quran say? Translation from Kanzul Iman, part 26, Surah Hujrat, verse 12. Do not look out for faults and do not backbite one another. Would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would abominate it. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, today and in this silsila, we are going to talk about a very, very serious disease, a cancer in our society. Something which is tearing the very fabric of our society apart. No household is safe from it. We are all engaged in this grave and heinous crime of backbiting without even realizing how much of a sin it is. Whether it is the father or the mother, or the brothers and sisters, husband and wife, everybody is talking ill of others behind their back. When one sees mothers and mother-in-laws talking about their daughter-in-laws talking about mother-in-laws, students and teachers even, students backbiting teachers saying bad things about students. And when it comes to employers and employees, Allah, Allah, Allah. And then when we're in the marketplaces, when we're trying to sell our merchandise, our goods, what do we do then? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, whether it is an employer or an employee, a foreman or manager, a laborer, the rich, the poor, whether it's the king or the servant, it doesn't matter. Unfortunately, whether it's the religious scholar or the student, today we are all afflicted with this disease, this cancer of backbiting. And the shaitan is running a mockery. None of our gatherings are safe from this. This ill-speaking, this heinous crime, as soon as two or three of us get together, the one thing we want to do is talk about the third person. As soon as a few brothers get together, they want to talk about the third. As soon as we meet somewhere, somebody becomes the target of our jokes. As soon as we meet, the first thing we try to do is talk about a third person who's not there and catch up on the gossip. And this unrelenting gossip is destroying our lives. It is destroying our deeds. It is destroying our peace. It is destroying our tranquility. It is destroying our hearts and minds. And it is tearing through our houses. Because of this sin of backbiting, we are living a life of misery. Many people who on the face of it appear to be pious are also lost in this grave sin. Some think, I'm not getting involved in this, but they sit there listening and nodding at other people backbiting. So simply keeping your mouth shut but staying in these mahafil, these congregations, these gatherings where people are being talked about and bad things being said about them, they're being slandered and the backbiting is going on. By being present there, you are indulging in sin. And today, backbiting is so common that actually we don't even realize that we're backbiting. Or we don't realize that somebody else is backbiting. And we don't realize how easily we are giving away our deeds and how we are in a very, very dangerous situation where we are directly going against the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and the hadith mubarakah of his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Let me just share with you a glimpse of what I'm talking about. Backbiting severs iman, your faith. The most precious possession you have is your faith. And yet backbiting challenges and destroys that. The scholars write that it can be the cause of a bad end. And by bad end they mean not dying in the state of iman. So the most prized possession we have in this world is our iman. What would we do if that prized possession was taken from us at the time of death? Excessive backbiting. A lot of people ask, I make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. I ask, but my duas are not being fulfilled. I do not know why. I pray 5 times a day. I read the Holy Quran. I don't know what is happening. The scholars write that excessive backbiting is one of the major causes of supplications not being accepted. So one of the reasons that du'as are not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal is because the person who is making the du'a is engaged actively in this despicable act of backbiting. He cannot help himself. And as a result of that, one of the consequences is that his du'as, his supplications and his prayers are not accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then, the scholars write that backbiting deprives you of the blessings of salat and sawm, of namaz, of praying and fasting. You go to all the effort of getting up for fajr. You do wuzu sometimes in cold weather conditions. You go to the masjid. You pray in the first rakat with takbir tahrima. You come back home in the cold weather. And you expect that the Creator Supreme will reward you. And yet, we engage in this despicable act of backbiting and talking about others. And so even though your namaz is there, you have taken away all the blessings and the barakat. You have taken away all the mercies of Allah Azza wa Jal that were descending because of the prayer that you had done. This act erases good deeds. It eats up the good deeds like you can't even imagine. Let's take an example. Somebody is a backbiter and they like to talk about others behind their back. And then he realizes the error of his ways. And he repents sincerely in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. He asks for forgiveness. He's remorseful. He promises himself in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal he will never do it again and makes the firm intention. Even then, it is written that he will be the last one to enter Jannah, enter paradise, because he was a backbiter. And it is such a bad, bad sin that it is considered one of the major sins that condemns one to the fire of hell. There is no doubt it is haram. There is no doubt it is heinous. There is no doubt it is a despicable crime. In fact, backbiting is such a foul thing. It's such a bad and disgusting thing that the scholars write that if it was to take the shape of an object and you immersed it in the ocean, the entire ocean would smell foul. Can you imagine the seven seas? And because backbiting is immersed in it, the whole of the seven seas suddenly start to smell foul. That's how bad it is. Backbiters will be made to eat the dead in hell. Backbiting is like eating the carcass of your dead brother. Backbiters will be forced to eat their own flesh on the day of judgment. In addition, on the day of judgment, when people's faces will be shining bright with all the deeds that they've done, and different people who have done pious deeds will be reaping the rewards, the backbiter will rise on the day of judgment looking like a dog. Some backbiters in the fire of hell will be like monkeys, and they will be running amok between different infernos of the fire of hell and running between the boiling water and the fire and seeking death. And even the dwellers of hell will hate them and be sick and tired of them. The backbiter is the one who enters into the fire of hell first. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, this topic is not a light one. This is a topic which could mean the difference between being successful in this life or being unsuccessful, dying without iman, torment in the grave, and humiliation on the day of judgment. So it's a topic that cannot be taken lightly. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that if one understands the true concept that we're talking about here, one appreciates why in Islam backbiting is considered haram. And what he says is that by backbiting, you are actually tarnishing somebody's character, his reputation, and you are trying to belittle them. And it creates friction within households. It creates animosity. It contributes to creating enemies. It creates problems between husband and wife, brothers and sisters, even parents and children. It includes friction between family members, relatives, and the society generally, the namazi in the masajid. And what happens is through this bad habit of backbiting, we destroy our homes, we destroy our peace, we destroy the very sukoon in our masajid, we create enemies all around, and the entire Muslim society becomes polarized. And it all starts off from this challenge behind somebody's back to their reputation and tarnishing them. Whereas Islam treats the dignity, the reputation of a Muslim as sacred. Who are we, you and I, to go around tarnishing other people, to disrespect them, to claim that they don't deserve the respect that they have? Why do we exaggerate? Why do we enter into this horrific sin of backbiting? When the Quran says, Surah Hujurat, verse 12, would any of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? You would abominate it. When the Quran is saying that backbiting is as if you were eating the flesh of your dead brother. And yet, we don't think twice. We don't think about the prestige of a Muslim. We would never consider or contemplate eating dead flesh of a human being, let alone our own brother. And yet, the dead do not feel pain. But when you backbite a Muslim, he feels the pain emotionally, physically, and we are torturing that person. And so Islam helps us to prevent all the harms associated with backbiting by saying that this is a grave crime that you should stay away from. Because the victims are not the only victims. The whole of society becomes a victim. The whole of society becomes damaged. The whole of society is losing out. Not just the one person who's backbiting. Not just the one person who you are talking about. No. It's much bigger than that. The whole fabric of the Islamic society, the whole fabric of the masjid, your house, your relationships, all change. And then we have some who claim, I wasn't backbiting. What I said was the truth. And saying the truth cannot be backbiting. A similar question, hypothetically, was considered by Sheikh Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi. And he posed the question that it is understandable that it is haram to expose somebody's frailties in his immediate presence, because this will cause him embarrassment. This will cause him problems. He'll have to deal with it. So we can understand why that is haram. But ya Sheikh, why is it haram to talk about somebody behind their back? He's not there, doesn't feel pain. The great Sheikh replied, he said, when you read the ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal used the word maitan, as in dead, in Surah Hujrat. This objection is automatically answered if one studies the ayat of the Quran, because although the person whose flesh is being eaten is dead, he doesn't feel any pain. Yet, it is such a despicable act. Yes, it is such a heinous crime that it makes you appreciate the level of how much Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hated. If the dead were to know that you were eating them, they would go through so much agony. This person, just imagine the person you're backbiting about. Just imagine the last time you found out that somebody was talking about you behind your back. Oh well, it's the truth though. But let me tell you this. There's a beautiful hadith in Mubarakah on this particular point about whether backbiting can be the truth or not. The best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once asked, do you know what backbiting is? And the companions answered, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah and His beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, know best. And this was the beautiful answer they always gave. Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a manner which he would dislike. Somebody asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if that fault is found in him? My dear viewers of the Madni channel, I want you to concentrate and listen to that again. A companion asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if that fault is found in him? And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, replied, if the statement you are making about his fault is found in him, you have in fact committed backbiting against him. Whereas if that fault is not in him, then you have slandered him. That this is the definition given by the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what my intellect tells me about backbiting isn't good enough. What your intellect tells you about backbiting isn't good enough. The definition of backbiting has come from Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is crystal clear that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, backbiting is that you talk about your brother in a manner which he would dislike. And then the companions asked, what if the fault is found in him? And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if the statement you are making about his fault is found in him, you have in fact committed backbiting against him. Whereas if it is not found in him, then you have slandered him, which is even worse. So this, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, gives us a reality check. A renowned commentator of the Quran, Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahmatul Rahman, has said, backbiting is to make disparaging remarks that are true. This is the bit we need to grasp. That are true. And that slandering is where you lay false accusations on somebody. And you make things, remarks which are untrue. So often our defense is twofold. We say, one, I can say it to his face. That's not the definition of backbiting that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. Whether you can say it to his face first. Two, it is true what I've said. Not a word of lie in it. But look what the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Look what the scholars are telling us. That in fact, the definition of backbiting is that what you said is true. But should you have said it? If you shouldn't have said it, and there is no shari reason for you to say it, then it is considered to be backbiting. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Sheikh Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, a great scholar, an amazing scholar of deen, what does he write? Backbiting is to slander someone's obscure shortcomings in his absence. What do we do today? He's got this wrong with him. And we say it behind his back. And we commit this heinous crime of backbiting. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers, if you mention your brother or your sister in such a way, in such a manner that will upset them if they come to hear what you've said, even if it is the truth, then that is backbiting. That is to say that you talk bad things about them. You belittle them. You challenge the faults in their personality. Even challenging their intellect. Oh, he's a bit thick. Oh, he's like this. Look at the clothes he wears. Oh, he did this wrong. Oh, he thinks he's good, but he never gets to the masjid. Statements like this are considered to be backbiting. And these not only stop at personal attacks, but they go on to people's homes, attacking people's children, attacking people's way of life, associating them with the wrong thing. And it carries on and on and on. And all the time, we are getting deeper and deeper into the trap of the shaitan. And we are taking away, because the first victim of this is you. You are losing your own deeds. You are killing your own peace and tranquility. You are slowly killing and damaging your own heart. And then you are affecting the other person. You are affecting those around you. Those who are listening to the ghibat that you're doing, to the backbiting you are doing, don't come out clean. They walk away with sacks of sins on their shoulders. And then those who find out about the backbiting that you've done, their minds become polluted. And gradually, you have single-handedly undermined Islamic society. This is how grave this sin is. This is how serious it is. And Islam is so beautiful that it says that you should never even talk about somebody's hat, somebody's clothes, somebody's demeanor, somebody's mannerisms, anything, their lack of common sense, whether they were polite or not polite, don't talk about these things. Why? Because you don't want to fall into this trap of the shaitan that takes you down the road of backbiting. Do you know where you have a small danger? You often have maybe a small sign that says, look, there's a bit of a danger here. You don't need to go there. But where the danger is greater, so it can physically harm you, you get a bigger warning. You maybe get some protection. And where the danger is so grave, so serious, that you can lose your life, you will see that the area is cordoned off and it's well protected. Well, when one considers the ayats of the Quran and the hadith of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what the scholars write about backbiting, imagine it as that electric board which has got a wire around it and barbed wire around it and a cordon around it and warning signs over. Say, do not come anywhere near this because this can destroy your life. It can destroy your well-being. This is how serious this cancer is. Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatuh al-Ali has described it as a cancer of today's society. And the scholars write that it is as sweet as dates. It is as exhilarating as alcohol. Once you get into it, it is very difficult to give it up. Once you start to go down this evil path, then protection becomes difficult. Why? Because you're enjoying it. And a lot of the time in our mahafil, in our gatherings, I'm the one who's off and telling people about other people. And I seem to be the man of the gathering. And I'm the one who keeps the conversation going. And I'm the one who is keeping everybody laughing. And I'm the one who's belittling others. And I'm the one who's backbiting. I'm the one who's sharing information. I am the light of the mahfil. And what I don't know is that I'm making a dark and lonely grave for myself. And humiliation on the day of judgment when the backbiter will rise in the form of a dog. Allahu Akbar. Today, these short mehfils, where we want to become the kind of jaan, mehfil ki jaan hai ye. You know, he brings everybody to life. Look, he makes everybody happy and we have a good laugh. Why? Because he's busy backbiting and slandering others. Are these the mehfils we want? What did the Buzurgan-e-Deen teach us? What does Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah tell us in a lot of Madni Muzakras? Every Saturday, we have the opportunity. What does he say? He says, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, avoid those mehfils where your akhirat becomes troubled. Why go to such a gathering where you're risking your future, the real future? Why go to such gatherings where you're destroying the deeds you've earned with hard work? Why expose yourself to this for that little bit of pleasure of the nafs and backbiting others? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we need to think about who we are and where we're going. Once, a Islamic brother traveled in a Madni Kafla of Dawat Islami. And he reformed his ways. And he came closer to Allah and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And you know how he did it? He says that I was actually a gangster in the local area. And some Islamic brothers would regularly come to me and they would invite me to the Ijtimaas and the Madni Mahal. And I didn't give them any time. And they regularly came. And unfortunately, I used to drink alcohol. And I would invite them to come and drink alcohol with me. And they would, in a beautiful way, invite me to the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day, because they kept trying, I thought, let's listen to these people. And they gave me a beautiful dars. And that dars, that beautiful lesson pierced my heart. It was by sheer coincidence and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that my heart changed. And I said, labbaik to that call. I entered the masjid and you know what he says? He said, since becoming baligh, since attaining the age of maturity, it was the first time I could remember entering the masjid. But my entire life changed. I ended up in the company of the devotees of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attending the sunnah inspired ijtimaas and regularly keeping company with the right people. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, because of this, I amended my ways and gave up all my sins. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, our environment changes us. How fortunate are those brothers who use this tongue not to backbite others, but to invite towards good. Let me leave you with this beautiful narration. Once the Prophet Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah, ala Nabiyina Salatu Salam, asked, Ya Allah, what is the reward for the one who enjoins his brother towards good and forbids evil? Neki ki daawat de aur burai se roke. What is the reward for such a person? Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator of the heavens and earth, replied, for his every word, I will grant him the reward worth a year's worship. And I get haya in sanctioning him to the torment of hell. For every word, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, every word, I will grant him a year's worth of worship. Ek saal ki ibadat ka sawab.
We haven't got enough time to talk good.
Where are we finding the time to talk evil? Today, let's repent from this evil of backbiting. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us all from this. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise. Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise.